and a warm welcome to you all. The funeral for John Fairey from Rockingham Road is this Thursday at 2 o'clock, actually at Rockingham Road Church. So please go along there and remember the family if you can in your prayers as well. Think of them at this difficult time. Tuesday, 7:30, house group on Zoom. And again, please come along to that. Every week, I keep telling you what you're missing, and you really are missing something. So please come along. Wednesday, 10 a.m. coffee morning. Again, a brilliant time. Please come along. Great fun. Have a chat and coffee, and there's usually cake. So Thursday, 2:30, is the Bible study in the middle vestry. We have changed the time to 2:30 because it was a bit difficult for people at 2 o'clock. But please come along to that and support that if you can. And the tabletop sale, 15th of March. If you'd like to book a table, see Dillis. That's £8, is it? Yep, £8. So see Dillis or Keith if Dillis isn't about. And if you don't want to book a table, just come along and support everybody that is here. And next week, our service will be taken by Lisa Kerry, who's CBA area minister.
Thank you. Good morning. Good morning. Good to be with you all again. Getting to be a common spot for me. Seems to be coming here quite a lot just lately. So
it's always lovely to see you. It's nice to be amongst friends. And I had a few mixed thoughts about today, but I kept coming back to one particular passage. So I trust that will be a blessing to you when we get there. I want to open the service today by reading just a few verses in Acts. As we gather today, hear these words. Ooh, there's paper everywhere. Those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen travelled as far as Phoenicia, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks as well, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. So there we go. We are Christians, yes? Yes, we are Christians. And I love that verse in the middle there, which is where I wanted to read it before we go on later in the passages. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. So encouraging one another to remain true to the Lord and with all of their hearts. We will sing in a minute, but does anybody watch The Apprentice? Because I generally don't, but I had loads of vegetables to prepare on Friday. I had an evening meal with some friends, and I just switched my iPad on. So I don't know whether this is going to be a spoiler. Is it gone iPlayer after or before? Have you already seen an Easter episode, those that watch it? Are the Easter eggs? Yeah, that's been on. Okay, so I'm not going to spoil it then anyway. But I don't know, for any of you that don't watch it, they were challenged to make an Easter egg. Ed. And if you are really good, then Ed might bring you, he's an astronaut, might bring you an Easter egg. And I'm like, what? Where are we going? So when we get in the boardroom at the end, I thought, well, someone's going to surely say something. And apparently Easter Ed will make the Easter Bunny redundant. And this was a BBC television programme, and I thought the reason they were inventing Easter Ed was because they wanted someone like Father Christmas, and then Easter Ed was going to outshine Easter Bunny. Not one mention of Jesus. And it broke my heart. When you hear this in a Christian country, and I thought, we really must. Oh, Church of Christ, arise. Don't panic, ladies. I picked the wrong hymn, but I'm not expecting you to play that one, Oh, Church of Christ, arise. It's an, Oh, Church of Christ, arise and put your armor on. Hear the call of Christ, our captain, for now the weak can say they're strong. Christ, what does he mean to you? And what difference has he made in your life? We've got to spread this news, haven't we? We really have around us. So the one we are going to sing is Rejoice, Rejoice. So Church of Christ, rejoice. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Let's sing.
Come, people of the risen King, who delight to bring him praise. Come all and tune your hearts to sing to the morning star of grace. For all others of the earth will live. Church, rejoice. Among those whose joy is morning sun and weeping through the night, come those who tell of battles won and those struggling in the fight. For his perfect love will never change, and his mind is all of us with the certain hope of peace. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue every land, men and women with four empty hands of his grace. Over all the world, his people sing. Church of Christ, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. One heart, one voice, oh Church of Christ, rejoice.
Oh Church of Christ, rejoice. Thank you, Father, that we have something to celebrate. We have one who was dead but is alive forevermore to be our friend, our Saviour and our companion. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can gather here this morning and no one's come here freely into thy presence, just as we are, whether we're young, whether we're old, whether we're happy, whether we're sad, glad, whether we're lonely, whether we have loads of friends around us, whatever state we're in. Wherever our mindset is, we can come just as we are. How amazing that is, Father, that you welcome us, even when we've got it all wrong. with our thoughts and our words and our deeds. Father, yet we rejoice that we can gather just as we are in your holy presence. You welcome us with your unconditional love. And we rejoice in that here this morning, and we gather here in the name of Jesus to magnify your holy name, to rejoice in who you are and what you mean to us. But we pray also, Father, that you won't leave us this way. You'd help us to grow in the knowledge and love of you. You'd help us to forgive others as you have forgiven us. And help us, Lord, to know your forgiveness, that you would cleanse us from our sin and help us to move forwards into this new week, rejoicing in the good news that Jesus saves and wants to be our friend and companion. So, Father, we pray that as we get to you, you'd draw near to us, that you would receive our praise, you'd accept our praise as we seek to magnify you here in this place today. We bring our prayers to you in the name of Jesus, your Son and our Saviour. Amen. King of Kings, Majesty, let's sing together. Amazing thoughts, isn't it? God of heaven living in me. Something else that happened to me on Friday, it was quite an enlightening day, really, after with the apprentice while I was. When these people arrived for our evening meal, apparently there was something amazing happening in the sky on Friday. Did anybody know about that? The planets, yes. Yeah. So we downloaded an app onto my iPad, which was free for a week. Well, we thought we only needed a few hours, and pointed it up at the heavens. And wow, the more we looked, the more we saw. And we did see them all except the last two, Mercury and Saturn. Is that the only one? I'm sorry. I mean, I'd had to look. I'm not overly fantastic as you saw these planets align. We could see the Mars was a bit sort of orangey one, and then you say sort of all slowly lined up. And I went out my front door, and there they were. What's that? And you think they're just these little tiny dots. And what are we, little tiny dots on one of those little tiny dots? And God made all of this. And I'd already chosen this song earlier in the week. Earth and heaven worship you. And one of the things that this little apps did is you looked it up, it made all these like torches and cancer flashing up on the screen, joining these dots. I've no idea how they work, those dot shapes, to me. It's incredible. And the more we looked, the more we saw. And there's the heavens, they're just incredible, aren't they? There's so much as you just look up there. And then we're just one of those little dots. And if you was to look at us, one individual, as one teeny weeny little dot on one of those little dots. And God cares. God cares for you and for me, the one who created all this stuff. So we can but say, Your Majesty, I can but bow. I lay my all before you now, for in royal robes I don't deserve. So we live to serve His Majesty. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we admire and in awe at the heavens. We can't see half of it, and yet what we can see on a clear night is just awesome. And You who created all this cares for me. And we can all put our names at the end of that sentence, Father. God cares for, and we are so in awe that You would take time and interest in us. Even the hairs of our head are numbered. And yet so often we can't even find time to say thank You for things. And so in our hearts here today, we very humbly bow and acknowledge Your greatness and the wonder that You care for us, that You're interested in us, that You gave Your only Son to die for us, that we might have our relationship restored with You. So it sounds so insignificant, but we say thank You from the bottom of our hearts for all that You are and for all that You mean to us and for all that You give to us day by day. And we gather our prayers together as we share in the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. He is the Lord, and He reigns on high. Let's sing together. Thank you.
Sing Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Saviour, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us. How fantastic is that? Blessed Redeemer, living word. Let's read those words and dig them deep into our souls, because he wants to have a relationship with you and with me. How fantastic is that? Let's sing this chorus through a couple of times as we close this part of our worship together.
Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord,
says beautiful words. Let's sing again.
Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord,
at any time, no matter what is happening in our lives. And Father, we just pause for a moment as we gather here to remember before you friends and loved ones who really need to know that you are with them right now. People we know who are grieving, who are poorly, who are troubled. As we rejoice that you are with us, yes, here in this place, but you are with all thy people, wherever they are. And so those people we know who are stuck at home for whatever reason, or in care homes or hospital beds, or very, very sad, emotionally drained, feeling distant from the world and all those around them, Lord, may they know that you are with them. And we bring them into our thoughts right now, Lord, those names, those faces that are going through our minds. Would you touch their lives this morning, we pray. as we ask you to touch ours too. In Jesus' name, amen. So I turn your thoughts to God's word, and I apologise, Seth, I didn't give you a Bible reading because I don't know quite how it's going to go, but I'm sure you'll follow me around. We're going to Acts 12. So there you go, there's a heads up. Those of you got the Bible in front of you, the opening verses I read to you were from Acts 11, where it has that amazing verse where it says, when he arrived, he saw the evidence of the grace of God, and he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. So there's a message for us all this morning, to be encouraged to remain true to the Lord with all of our hearts. But it's actually the next chapter that I felt I just couldn't get away from every time I sat down to prepare. So I trust this will speak to somebody's hearts here today. And I've headed my talk simply Prison Break. Maybe it's not sure anybody got any jailbirds here this morning, but we can all think of being perhaps when we feel being in prison doesn't need to be literally confined to a prison, but in our state of mind, I know my mind is always, my problem is always between my ears just about, but that's probably, I'm not the only one there, but we can all get ourselves in places where we feel stuck. And we had a video at one of our meetings a few weeks ago, and it was called The Liberating God, and it was all about freedom. And I thought, freedom, what does that really mean? So instead of going down the, what does freedom really mean? I've thought, well, what does it really mean to be in prison? Because obviously freedom's the opposite, isn't it? And there's so many stories in the Bible. So I've been doing lots and lots of studies about all these different things that happen to people in prison. You've got in the Old Testament, you've got Samson, you've got Daniel, all sorts of interesting characters. So there's an interesting Bible study for you all to go and find out all the prisons in the Bible and the amazing things that happened. But this is the particular story that I kept coming back to, which we're going to look at today, and I'm going to read to you the first 16 verses of Acts chapter 12 so that it will remind you of what I think is quite a well-known scripture, but nonetheless, let's hear it today. It was about this time, this is coming on from the reading I gave to you earlier, it was about this time that Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. So he had an actual intention to destroy these people and what they believed in. And he had James, the brother of John, they were the sons of Zebedee, if you remember, and he had him put to death with the sword. Just imagine that. In the world today, people are still being put to death for their faith. Yet we come here in freedom. Sometimes freedom gives us that liberty to not really perhaps be quite so serious about what we believe in. He, this man, James, was put to death with the sword because of his faith. And when Herod saw this, he saw it pleased the Jews. And then he proceeded to seize Peter as well. What are your aims? I mean, he was doing this. Oh, I'm popular for doing that. I'll do it again. Oh, I'm popular for doing that. I'll do it again. Popularity doesn't necessarily mean it's the right thing to do. So he proceeded to seize Peter also because he wanted to be seen as a good chap amongst the Jews. And it happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After arresting Peter, he put Peter in prison. And he handed him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. And Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover feast. So Peter was kept in prison. But the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring Peter to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals," and Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought He was seeing a vision. So all I can say at that point is, what a dream. What a dream. Anyway, then Peter came to himself. Sorry. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of the street, suddenly the angel left him. And then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know, without a doubt, that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating." When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door." "You're out of your mind," they told her, when she kept insisting that it was so. They said, "It must be his angel." But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Well, that's some dream, isn't it? I don't know whether you have dreams that you can remember in the mornings, but this is an amazing account there of something that happened in the life of Peter. Somebody who we know from his time with Jesus, who was always quick to put his foot in it, and yet also stood out from the crowd, didn't he, in all sorts of ways. And we can think of him, you know, in the encounters and the things that happened with him and Jesus as he encountered life, as it were, as they journeyed together. And of course, at the end of their time together, we have that amazing time when he denied Jesus altogether, denied that he knew him, and yet was then restored encounter by the seashore when Jesus had risen from the dead. So he'd been with him when he was alive, he saw him when he died, and he saw him after he died, and his life had been transformed. And so the first thing that struck me, really, apart from the things I've already mentioned as I was reading it about Herod and his way he was doing things, was he was asleep. He was asleep in prison, for goodness sake. How good are you at sleeping? Where does your mind go when there's the smallest of thing that may or may not happen tomorrow? Here we find a man, very clearly, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, so he would not be comfortable. James has already been killed, and that is potentially what's about to happen to him. When troubles come, how do you sleep? I wrote down here. And of course, we know that Peter had had this encounter with Jesus after the resurrection. And he was set free from his thoughts, what it might be, what might happen tomorrow, what we might expect tomorrow. Because if we stop thinking about what might happen, then we can actually embrace what it actually is. There he was currently. That was his situation. Okay, I'm stuck. What do I do? Well, I might be headed tomorrow. I might be set free tomorrow. I would be awake all night. Anybody else? And we find him sleeping. And I wrote down here, "I'm not out, but I'm free." He knew that God had his best interests at heart. He had encountered the living Christ and he trusted him implicitly. It was Paul that said, wasn't it, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." What a perspective on life. What a connection he must have had. Of course, we haven't physically seen the Saviour risen from the dead, but we have this record from people who met with him, and we can have that same relationship with him. And I thought, well, he wasn't even dozing. This was a deep sleep. So my next question was, how do you expect God to communicate with you? How do you expect God to communicate you? And I'm looking around here to see who I dare go up to, and I'm not going to go up to anybody. I'm just going to go whack. Because that kind of what happened here, isn't it? Read it. Hear what it says. It says in verse 7, "Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone." Now, if someone turns the light on and I'm asleep, I usually wake up. But Peter's asleep. He's so sound asleep. So there's a light in the room, and it says he struck Peter. That is not how I would expect God to communicate with me, to say, whack. But he got his attention. He woke him up. And he said, get up. That's why I say what an amazing dream, because I don't think I've ever dreamt anybody hit me. And I think if I did, I would wake up. But anyway, nonetheless. So here we have an unusual way of communicating from God. And if we're not reading God's word or praying, I sometimes wonder, did that happen because God was trying to get my attention? What does God need to do to get your attention? Here we find the angel struck Peter, an unusual way of God getting somebody's attention. So never be surprised about things that happen around you. Is God actually speaking to me through this? And he says, quick, get up. Well, if that was again to happen to me, I'd be like, but how can I get up? I mean, we have this vision, don't we, here, of a man chained and he's sleeping. Well, I can't get up. I'm chained. How am I supposed to do that? And when I get challenged to do things, often the first question that comes into my head is, how? How on earth am I supposed to do that? And it says, we don't know whether he got up and the chains fell off. Well, that's the kind of image I felt. Quick, get up. So we got up and it's like, oh, the chains have gone. And how often does God require us to step out there in faith? Just one example, look at Moses and the Red Sea. Look at, okay, a second example, Joshua and the crossing the River Jordan. As they stepped out in faith, so miraculous things happened. And so Peter gets up and his chains fall off his wrists. Interestingly, we don't hear anything about the guards. So we expect them to still be asleep. And then the angel speaks again. Put on your clothes and your sandals. And then we simply says, Peter did it. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me. Now, here you go. I'm being a bit honest with you today, which is perhaps not very wise, but here we go. I'd be saying, why? What's the point? I'm stuck in this prison. What do you want me to get dressed to go out there for? Because I'm here, I'm stuck. So I've got me hows, me what's, me whys, me when's, me where's. They're always going round in my head. And yet if God says do it, what is your focus on the things that are around you, of the problems that encompass you? How, why, what's the point? I put down here the freedom from needing to know the outcome before taking the step. Hear that again. We can have freedom from needing to know the outcome. That's where I'm at. I want to know where I'm going and what's going to happen around the corner. But God says, no. Trust me, you can have freedom that you don't need to know what's happening around the corner. You can take one more step because I've got it covered. So what do we find happens? He puts on his cloak and follows him. Oh, I love that word, follow him. He followed him. Jesus never says, go down the street, turn right, turn left, do this, do that, do the other. He says, come with me. I'll be with you. We never get a list of instructions and then he says, right, I'm off now. I'm down the road. I'll leave you to it. God said, I'm with you. God, Emmanuel, God with us. And so this angel says, follow me. Come with me. I'll show you the way. Stick with me. God doesn't point the way so much as leads the way and says, come on with me on this journey. So I wrote down here, do you need all the details to follow the instructions? I tend to have lots of questions, but Peter, he gets dressed anyway. And then we're on a journey, but he's thinking, he's dreaming now. Do you ever conjure up that imagery in your mind and think, well, it's not real anyway, so I'll go along with it. It's never going to happen. It's just all in my head. And it says they pass the first and second guards, verse 10, and they come to an iron gate. Well, now you kind of think, okay, that's the end of the journey.
Doing?
Obstacles happen. When do barriers that seem impossible to overcome disappear? And I was pondering that one. When do barriers that seem impossible to overcome disappear? And time and time and time again in Scripture, the barriers disappear when God's people act. And God's people are obedient and put their faith into action, barriers disappear. It says to them, the door opened by itself and they went through. As they came to the gate leading to the city, as they were going, the door opened. The first automatic revolving door, because lots of doors do that now. But so often in scripture, you find that the miraculous happens as God's people are obedient and step forth in faith. But it depends. I cast your thoughts back to when I was here before. We were talking about magnification. I remember bringing my magnifying glass here. And the things that we magnify, we can almost magnify things that make what God wants us to do the wrong thing in our own minds. And it was interesting. When I got home from being with you last time, we'd had a bit of snow. Do you remember? Because I think you were debating on whether or not you were going to open up that morning. You all had lovely cups of tea to warm everybody when I arrived. And when I, of course, got home, just about all the snow had gone. You know, it all comes, the problems come and they all gone. But there was one bit left. There was a mountain on Back Green where, not a mountain, but it looked odd because everywhere else had gone green again. Because the kids had built a snowman. And that just spoke to my heart when I got home, given what we'd been thinking about here. Because if they hadn't been piling all the problems up, it would have all gone away. Because all the snow had gone, except for the pile of problems that they'd created. What we magnify can often take over the situation. Well, Peter, he keeps walking forwards. And I've written down here a very funny thing, actually, and I was trying to work out why I'd written it, but I get it now. Faith it or fake it. Stick with me. Face it. I believe. Fake it. Yeah, I really believe. I think I believe. I'm going to do it anyway. Until you feel it. How often do we wait for our feelings to guide our footsteps? As opposed to saying, well, okay, I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't feel it. But God, I know this is what you want me to do. I believe Peter here was going through the motions. God said, do this, do that. So he just got on with it. He didn't even really know whether it was real. And he comes through these doors and then he's out in the street. And then Peter, it says, verse 11, came to himself and said, now I know. But think of all those things that had happened before he reached the point that he said, now I know. And that's like life, isn't it? Often you've got to get out there and get stuck in. We don't get all the answers all of the time when we want them. And the things that we pile up in our lives, like that snowman, can take over our vision rather than actually seeking God's direction. And so we find here with Peter, whack, angel wakes him up. The light wasn't enough. Get dressed. Why? What for? Where am I going? I'm stuck. I'm in chains. And all of these questions that could be going through our minds. And yet, as a result of him stepping out, facing it or faking it until he really felt it, now he knows, he says, without a doubt, that the Lord had sent his angel and rescued him from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating. What were they anticipating? They weren't expecting him to live. They weren't expecting him to make it out of there. And how often do we only know what God has done when we look back? My mother had a fall on Monday, and I thought, oh. And it was such a silly situation, you wouldn't believe it. I mean, those of you that have seen people with Zimmer frames, I said, just stand there a minute, Mum. And I turned my back, literally, picked something up and turned around and she was on the floor. And I thought, oh, what's she broken? Because things break so easily. And she said, well, I just thought I'd try and do my zip up. She never does a zip-up. I always do a zip-up. But she took both hands off her frame and tried to do a zip-up. And then she was plonked on the floor. And as the more I look back on this, if I didn't believe in a guardian angel, I do now. I have no idea how she didn't break something, hit something. There's a concrete step about that deep at our back door. And she'd landed on it, on the floor, back on that step. And she hasn't even got a bruise. I can't believe it, the whole weight of her, and she hasn't even got a bruise. And I was thinking about this, and we thank God that we got her up apart from being shaken. I managed to get her up as well. That was a miracle in itself. And instead of putting it to one side, I then got a phone call the next day of a friend who's probably half my mother's age, and she just tripped going along the street, and she fractured her pelvis. And she's in hospital. She'd been in hospital for a week. I didn't get that news until after Mum had had her fall. She can't even stand at the moment, although she is healing well. And it just thought, wow, God, Because for someone as young as that to do something so minor and have a fracture, for my mum to do that, and I think, wow, God. And as things unfold and we look back, how often do we see God's hand of mercy and hear his voice of cheer? Don't give up. Keep praying for things. Stick with it. Don't have to have all the questions answered. The obedience of Peter created his freedom. The obedience of following the instructions created his freedom. And then the final part of the story is, where does he go? Where does he go when he has escaped from here? Because he is on the run, after all. Herod would be after his skin. He wanted to make an example of him, a spectacle of him. And so when he suddenly realizes free, I've written down here, what door will you knock on when you're in trouble? Have a think about that. Where would you go? What door would you knock on when you're in trouble? Let's rephrase that. Is your door somebody can knock on when they're in trouble? Because as a church, we should be there for one another. Because when you knock on the wrong door, your heart can be broken, your mind can be messed up, and you can still be out in the cold. Peter knew where he'd gone, and he was so sure that there was going to be a warmth and a welcome and support there, even when poor old Rhoda was so excited she didn't open the door. He didn't think, oh boy, I'm not going to get any help here, I'll go somewhere else. He kept knocking. As a church, as part of God's people, are we places of sanctuary for one another, where he was able to keep knocking, keep knocking, keep knocking? Because he knew that as long as he got through the door, there was a place of sanctuary there for him. He had an expectation that there would be support and encouragement behind that door. Otherwise, he would have run off and scurried somewhere else. It says when Rhoda recognized Peter's voice, she was overjoyed, but she forgot to open the door. And she went back and told her friends. And now what a sad case. The people have been praying for something and it's happened and they don't believe it. It can't possibly be Peter. Hang on a minute, weren't you just praying that he was going to be released? And there he is at the door, and it tells us very clearly they were more sure that it could be his angel than actually him. Be earnest in your prayers, because expecting the reality of things, do you know, isn't that contagious, being expectant? Have you been around people that are enthusiastic and expectant of things to happen? And then you get around somebody who's skeptical and you can suddenly go down the drain with their skepticism. Peter went to a place where he knew he would be encouraged and supported. And may we as a church or here be supportive in one another and help people along life's way. So an interesting little story. I encourage you to have a look through that again when you get home. And think about a prison break. And you might say, well, I'm not in prison. But I wrote a few things down on a list here. As we perhaps contemplate where we are, or maybe friends of ours might be. Stone walls do not a prison make. A prison, somewhere confined, somewhere trapped, restricted, where we are not in control. Things are beyond our control. What can create those prisons? Regret, guilt, worry, unforgiveness, pressures of life, fear, jealousy, inadequacy, loneliness, age or mobility and health issues, being indecisive, having uncensored thoughts, circumstances, the if onlys, the what if, addiction, depression, trauma, isolation, so many things can create barriers between us and the world. I believe this story shows us how we can be free from our prisons, free from our situations, surroundings, and circumstances, free from what happens next. Free from what you guys think of me by remembering and magnifying the right things. We can't predict the path of freedom, but we can just do the next step. So I pray for you all today that, as I had four statements coming out of this message for you, don't stay in prison in what you thought, because then you can't be part of what God is doing. If Peter stayed in his thoughts and didn't listen
to
angels' words, he would have stayed in prison. But he was prepared to act and to move, and he slept through and had to be whacked awake. You can't predict the whole path of freedom. He had no idea where he was going, but he just took the next step. God won't do for you what you can do for you. How about that one? God won't do for you what you can do for you. He had to get himself dressed, and he had to walk through that revolving door, and he had to go and knock and keep knocking on the door to get to his friends. God does what we can't do, but we have to do what we can do. And barriers disappear when God's people put their faith into action. And get around people who are expectant. Be expectant. Be the people. Be homes and houses that when people knock on the door and keep knocking, they're glad they did, because they know that they can gain hope that never dies. God is there for each one of us to liberate us from the prisons we find ourselves in. And we can find ourselves, being like me, you can find yourself in prisons all of the time. But it was for freedom that he came, to liberate us. And next song picks up the theme that we can gain that hope that never dies when we put our faith and trust in him. Let's sing together, please. Thank you. That's in the chorus, don't worry. That line is in the chorus, it comes later. Let's sing together. Seated as we continue in prayer together.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the examples we have in your word of so many individuals whose lives were transformed daily as they put their faith in you. Not once forever, but life has a tendency to put us in prisons, some perhaps of our own making, others because of the surroundings and the friendships or not friendships that we keep. And so we thank you, Father, that you have promised that you'll always be with us wherever we are, but also freedom, freedom in Christ, freedom from needing everyone's approval of everything we do, freedom of knowing that you are always present with us, freedom that you will always show us a way, freedom that we don't have to worry about what's round the corner because you are ultimately in control. Freedom that we don't have to be stuck in our own thoughts, but to let them go and be part of what you are doing, which perhaps we won't understand at that time. Freedom to perhaps realise that there are things that you won't do for us, that we just have to get on with ourselves. There are things that we can do for ourselves, and how often perhaps we are standing at open doors, as Peter quite easily could have been as he left that prison, saying, but the door's shut. But as he kept walking, the door opened and he was set free. Freedom from being in places where we feel unwanted, unwelcomed. Freedom to be ourselves in your presence, in your company. Father, we pray for one another. I pray for this church family here, Lord, especially at this time as they move forwards after this service into their annual general meeting, where there are decisions to make and plans to make and reflections to be had on past days. Father, I pray that each person here might appreciate how they can encourage one another, appreciate your purpose individually in their lives, but also as a part of thy family, to work together for you where you have called them. Father, so often we can get bogged down in life with the things that are around us and our own personal perspectives and our own personal expectations. And yet your ways are higher than ours and your thoughts also. And so I pray for all those gathering in this meeting today that they might be able to put aside their own thoughts and their own expectations, their own personal needs and wants and desires, and look to thee. That this work here in this place amongst these people might be all of you, to give you the glory, to extend your kingdom, to share your love, to magnify your name, to reach out into the community here around this church and in the lives of the people they meet day by day. That they might be people who are good to be around, expectant people, looking for your will. People whose doors that when you keep knocking, you know you're going to get through to somebody who will love and care for you. I pray this might be a loving and caring community guided by your Spirit. That people might be indwelt by your Spirit, guided by your Spirit, and confident to step out in faith, knowing that you will guide, not necessarily show the final destination, but you will guide one step at a time. So I thank you for this fellowship. I thank you for this word. And I pray as we move forwards from this place, that as we know you're with us, that we'll be aware you're with us, that you'll presence yourself in a real tangible way in our own life. Pray as we move forwards from this place, that as we know you're with us, that we'll be aware you're with us, that you'll presence yourself in a real tangible way in our own lives and in the lives of your fellowship here, that as they make decisions as to what next, that you will guide the thoughts, words and deeds and receive all the glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've got a hymn to close with, and I wrote...